Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Okay, this evening, as was laid on my heart, how many people have adjusted after the 21 days? I'm not talking physically. Has your prayer life remained the same? That's what I'm asking. Or you have gone back to 010, 100, what? How many people have seen a change? Has the 21 days affected our prayer life? How many people? Only one person. Maybe all of us before Sefio. Maybe the people that are here, Papa. I hope that it's not that all of us did the Indian race. Praise God. I expect that it would have, if you participated fully in that 21 days, it would have done something to you. It would have changed, you know, the way you pray. Praise the Lord. And in the light of the season that we are in, because we know that we are in a season, we are in an unusual season, that's what I would just say. I'm going to be teaching on the parable of the sower. On the parable of the sower. How many of us remember the parable of the sower? Okay. When was the last time you read the parable of the sower? A long time ago, I'm sure. Okay. So I'm going to be teaching on the parable of the sower this evening. And I want you to just follow me. Mark 4, the parable, of course, appears in the three synoptic gospels. Synoptic gospels being Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is not a synoptic gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This parable appears in the three gospels. Praise the Lord. So we're going to read. I'm going to read Mark. I'll make reference to Matthew and Luke and some others. So we're reading Mark 4. Let me read NKJV. NKJV. It says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. NKJV, I don't want an LT. NKJV. That's why I'm looking for it in my own behalf. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. We're going to 20. I may skip some parts, but we're going to verse 20. So please, let's... Can't even find NKJV on my own phone. Can you imagine? Okay, I can say it now. Okay, so it says, then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in this teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10 says, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? It says, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Verse 20 says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Okay, so I start with what parables are. I think in this same passage in Amplified actually talks, Amplified Classic. Have you changed? Okay. In verse 2, it says, and he taught them many things in parables, in bracket, illustrations or comparisons, put beside truths to explain them. So parables are brief narratives told with earthly analogies to illustrate a spiritual truth. So Jesus was actually driving at a spiritual truth, but he used, you know, the day-to-day analogy, seed and a sower sowing a seed, like a farmer, you know, sowing a seed. And so most of the parables of Jesus, of course, center on the kingdom of God. And verse 13 of that Mark 4 talks about, he said something very profound, and he said to them, do you not discern and understand this parable? Meaning that he expected his disciples to understand that parable. And he was saying something. He said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all the other parables? So in essence, this parable is a fundamental parable. It's a fundamental key to unlocking all the other parables. So it's like you're saying, this is parable 101. You know, in university, you have those first year courses. So this was parable 101. The sower, the parable of the sower is parable 101. And Jesus is saying here, if you don't understand this parable, it's not likely you understand all the other parables that I am going to be talking about. So let's get into this parable. It's a very profound parable, like I said, very profound and very central to all of the parables that Jesus, gave when he was alive. Okay, so in this parable, we see some things. Number one, it says the sower sows. What did he say? Sows the seed. And in that 13, I think in 13, verse 13, NKJV 13, please. Can you give it to me? NKJV 13.
when he was verse 14, it says the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. So the word is the seed. Hallelujah. The word of God is the seed. In this parable, the word is the seed. And then he went on to tell us about the four types of soil that the sower, you know, threw the seed on. And you know, when I was reading for like preparing for this, I got an understanding because, well, my father was a farmer, and I remember that when they want to, you know, when they want to farm, they don't just throw seeds. It's either they make a ridge, they make a heap, they do something, and they put the seed. But I was made to understand while reading for this that in Israel in those days, they just had a vast, you know, open land. And what they just used to do really was to actually just go and throw the seeds on the land. They just go and throw the seeds. So in the way of throwing the seeds, there's no how that some seeds will not fall on this kind of, you know, soil. So you have the pathway, maybe where the person is just throwing the seeds, it falls on a pathway. You know how you have a pathway in a farm, where that is where everybody is. So some seeds actually fell on this pathway. And then it says some seed fell on the stony ground. So that means that even that vast land, some parts of it were sandy or were rocky. And you see that in some farms. You see some farms, you see a mountain or a stone, you know, like in the middle of a farm. So some parts of it were rocky. And then he said there were some thorns in some places. When they, you know, as they put this seed in the sand, alongside that seed, as the seed was growing, some thorns also came up, you know, and growing alongside. You remember that parable when they said that when they planted the seed, and when they woke up, they saw that Yoruba call it ekwati at alkama. What is that? Weeds and tares. Yes. So they planted the weeds, but tares also came up. And Jesus said, leave everything until they are matured. And then when they are matured, when you are harvesting, you harvest the wheat first, and then, you know, you throw the tares in the fire. So you had those ones. So there were the ones that grew amongst, you know, the thorns. And then, of course, you had the good soil. When I was doing agriculture, I don't know what is obtained sound. The good soil was supposed to be like, they call it black soil, loamy soil. Don't know what's, you know, things have changed a lot. But, you know, so you had the good soil. So sometimes, you know, this parable could be looked at in like two ways. Could be looked at in about two ways. Sometimes I remember the first time I read this in depth, and I kind of like did a study on it, you know. And it was amazing to me because you know how you just read things, and you just move on. The parable of the sower, some fell on you, and you just move on. But with, we know, with like an in-depth look at it, I discovered that sometimes these four soils can actually be present in one person's life. It actually can be sometimes our responses, different responses to God's message, to a particular message. Praise the Lord. It may actually be a response, one person's response to different messages, you know, from God. Some responses meet when God's word comes. Sometimes it meets you on that pathway. Why does it meet you on the pathway? Because what they are saying, you do not have, it's just not, you cannot see it. You can't see it. You understand? You can't just see it. So sometimes you are preaching in church, in the congregation that you are preaching to. I remember the first time I went to a particular church was way back. And I took someone along with me some time ago. quite a while ago. And after the service, you know, I enjoyed the preaching and all of that. And I asked the lady that I went with, she said, "What was that man saying?" She did not understand at all. Could not make head or tail of what the preacher preached for like an hour. She said, I don't understand. I can't. So sometimes, and why she didn't understand was just because she was not, her spiritual stand at that time was so low compared to what that man was saying. So she sat in the church, in the service for God knows, and she could not take something, you know, away from that service. So sometimes it is that we are in different phases and some messages just come and meet us and we cannot make head or tail. We can't make head or tail. When you're saying something, I met a friend on Sunday at a small party, not a party, a small reception, and we're saying something, and she made a response and I could not keep quiet about that response, so I began to speak. In fact, it was more like I was preaching to her, you know, and she was trying to, I said, no, you can't. So I just began to speak. When I left there, I was like, okay. In fact, I had to put it to her at some point that it's not because I'm a pastor, no. So don't think that I'm saying this to you because I'm a pastor. No. I am a believer, first of all. And this is the way that scripture has said this thing. So sometimes we're in some phases that we cannot receive God's message in some areas of our lives. Praise the Lord. Like I said, sometimes because our level of understanding has not grown, maybe we are still taking milk, we're not eating meat, we're not, you know, destroying bone. But sometimes we just resist. Sometimes there's just a resistance. Like, you know that what they are saying is true, but in your heart, you are saying to yourself, no, this is not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to go this way. Praise the Lord. So like I said, sometimes it may just be our position, our stand to the word of God. But primarily this evening, I want us to look at that parable vis-a-vis the word of God and how to use it to produce and why it does not produce in some cases. The word, how do you use it to produce? And then why does it not produce in some cases? And somebody is saying, because even when I was asking, what should we talk about this? And it was like parable of the sower. I'm like, where? But along the line, I began to understand why this was necessary at this time. Why this is necessary at this time. Okay, so in getting the word to produce for us, the state of our heart matters. The state of our heart matters. In receiving, understanding the word of God, the state of our heart is very essential, very key. So it says, the sower sows the word. So the seed is the word. The soil is our heart. The soil is our heart. Some things to note. The word is a living thing that produces after its own. You don't need to do anything to the word. Just put it in the right environment and it will produce. You know, in that Mark 4, after this parable, there was another parable. I think in verse 26. Yes, in verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground and then continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. He knows not how. He knows not how. His own is just to put the seed in the ground. So, the word is a living thing that produces after its own kind. Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Please, in the Amplified Classic, Hebrews 4:12. It says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. So the word on its own does not need, you don't need his word. So let us do, no. Once you put it in the right environment, it produces after its own. And please take note that prophecy grows from the word. Faith grows from the word, the same word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Understanding grows from the word. Understanding grows from the word. So prophecy grows from the word. There's no, if anybody gives you a prophecy that doesn't have any word backing, I don't understand. I don't know. Prophecy grows from the word. Faith grows from the word. Understanding grows from the word. And in all of this, our hearing is key. In this same Mark 4, I think somewhere up, Jesus was telling them, yes, 4:24. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. So our hearing is key. Our hearing is so key. Let me read that 4:24. It says, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give. So when you hear something, you're supposed to give a measure of thought to what you hear. You're supposed to give a measure of study to what you hear. You give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. So when you hear, you just don't hear and move on. You give a measure of thought to what you hear. You give a measure of study to what you hear. And that is what ensures that what you hear produces for you. Praise the Lord. So for instance, I've been saying this is an unusual season. We're in a new season. We're in a different season. Something new is happening. Have you gone back to say, okay, this thing that I've been hearing, give a measure of thought to it. Have you gone back to give a measure of study to you? Have you asked? Have you prayed and said to the Holy Spirit, show me what is new in this season. Show me what you have for me in this season. I keep hearing this season is a new season. It's an unusual season. It's a different season. Can you, sweet Holy Spirit, can you please expound this for me? Hallelujah. So, hearing is key. Hearing is key. But again, like I said, it says we must give a measure of thought and study when we hear. And when the word is heard and received, it will produce fruit, which is what happened in that last soil. When the word is heard, how do you receive it? When you give a measure of thought and a measure of study, you are receiving the word. It has gone beyond what pastor said in church. You have gone back home to make that word your own. You have gone back home to do some more study. You have gone back home to do some meditation on the word that you have received. So when the word is heard and received, it definitely will produce fruit. And it says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Okay, so let's look at these different types of soil. Let's look at these different types of soil. From verse 13, I think. Let's look at these different types of soil. Very important that we do this at this time. Can we do Matthew? Let's do Matthew 13. Do Matthew 13 for this for me, please. Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew 13:18. We're the meaning of the parable. 13:18. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Continue, please. Go on. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. I give you an example. So the people, the seed that fell by the wayside are those people who the word was preached, but they didn't have any understanding. I gave an example, an illustration, somebody who was in a service, who after the service got up and said, I did not understand one thing that this man has been saying for the past 1 hour. What do you think happened to her? In fact, for me, as far as I'm concerned, that 1 hour or 1 hour was a wasted. So it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart, because there was no understanding. It didn't rest on anything. So the little that was there, the enemy comes to snatch it away. Sometimes, apart from the fact that there's no understanding, sometimes we come to church with a mindset. So when what the preacher is preaching is against that mindset you have, you are throwing it away. It's not even landing. It's just bouncing off. I remember some years ago, yeah. You know, I listened to some old people that have gone, you know. And I was listening to this particular man, Charles Capps. And he was saying some things my mind could not receive, so to say. I just left the message and I went to, I just left it. What happened? What he was saying was contrary to what I had, as at that time, I believed. What he was saying was too, I was like, am I sure this man is not preaching heresy? He wasn't preaching heresy. It was just that I was not at that level of understanding at that time yet. So sometimes, and I know that there's a particular preacher that preaches some things in Nigeria. I won't mention his name. Sometimes what he's saying is looking to you like he's talking heresy. So I am sure that a lot of people will hear him and will just move on. I beg, what's this man saying? I'll just move on. So that is the one that is by the wayside. That Charles Capps message was his podcast, and it was in so many, like 20 episodes of that particular podcast. But I don't think I went beyond episode 3 or so. I could not. My mind could just not, I could not wrap it around my head. It could just not, it didn't find anywhere to settle. So I just left it and I moved on. So that is what happens by the pathway, along the roadside. There's no understanding. There's a manner of thinking, a manner of deciding. You have decided that this is how it's supposed to be. The person I was talking to on Sunday, as I was talking to her, you know, she was saying, and I said, no, it's not like that. But you could see that there was a manner. The church she attended, there was a doctrine that had been laid down. So she was talking in, and she, as I was saying something, she was saying, but what about this? She was, you know, going along with that. But I'm glad, because she told me at the end of the day that you have given me something to think about. So I was glad, because at least I have, you know, aroused something in her. Praise the Lord. So along the pathway could be a hardness of heart. It could be a mindset. It could also be that we don't have understanding. The second soil is the rocky soil. It says, as for what was sown on thin rocky soil, this is he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Have you heard those people that shout in church when preachers are preaching? They are shouting, glory, hallelujah. Yes, it has no real root in them, but it's temporary, inconstant, lasts for a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, at once he is caused to stumble. He is repelled and begins to distrust and desert him. whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. So, you know, we preach, there's so many things we preach. Okay, so maybe we're preaching prosperity, and you know, in church, pastor is preaching and pastor is saying something. Some people are shouting, hallelujah, praise God. See, some places they even carry chair and put on their head, and they are shouting and jumping around. Pastor has said, and that's another thing. There's a particular church also that their pastor is preaching fire and brimstone, but the members of the church, you actually cannot see the preaching of the pastor is not evident in, you know, in their lives, so to say. And when the pastor is preaching, they are shouting, they are making noise there. So they hear the word, and they are shouting, they are happy. Ah, God, Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my provider. We have done some, the Lord is my shepherd this evening. But then when you enter town tomorrow and you meet something, you say, ah. You quickly, this one is not what they told us in church yesterday. Oh, this is not. You quickly drop that thing that they said and you just move on. Why? Because all that you did, like I said, that Mark 4:24, you heard. You didn't pay attention to what you heard. You just thought that it was when you shout. Once you shout, once you go out, it will just, you know, like they say something, I just be done. That's once you just use it like this, it's magic. No, it's not magic. So a ground full of rocks, it indicates a heart that has no depth in God. That has no depth. So there's no depth to receive the word. And because there's no depth to receive the word, it does not yield fruit. Hallelujah. There's no depth. Beyond what is heard in church, we have not paid attention to the word. We have not built, you know, we have not developed roots in ourselves. So when you say, for instance, by the stripes of Jesus, everybody, don't let me say everybody knows. Some people don't know. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed now. You know all of those things that we say. So somebody has headache. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And the headache is getting stronger. Say, Jojo, please, where is Panadol? Panadol in this place. Let me use Panadol. It's not about just saying by the stripes of. There has to be a revelation of the word in your heart. A revelation of the word. You must have developed roots in God. We must have developed roots in ourselves. Proverbs 12 and verse 13. Proverbs 12, 13. Please, can you open that from Proverbs 12, 13. Proverbs 12, 13. It says, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. Let me read. Do we have ERV or Easy? Which one do we have? Which version do we have? ERV or Easy version? Okay, let me look for Easy version. Let me look for Easy version. The way Easy version talks about it, Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and verse 13. Verse 3. Yes, it says no one can use wicked things to make himself safe. It says, but a righteous person has strong roots. Maybe you should look at NLT. I don't know what NLT says. It says a righteous person has strong roots. So we must have strong roots in God. We must develop roots. And it takes time to develop roots. You know, was it last year we were doing something about spiritual development? How spiritual development is akin to physical development. Why you have a baby, you have a toddler. Was it last year we did that? Spiritual development. Is it this year? No, it was last year. So that, you know, spiritual development is akin to physical development. So it takes time. You grow when you become born again. 1 Peter 2:3, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So there is a growth. You start from babyhood to toddler or to whatever, you know, you just keep going like that and like that. So it takes time to develop roots in God. And we need to give that time to develop the roots. Again, sometimes that rocky soil is that we do not have confidence in ourselves as believers. You know, here we preach the fact that being a believer is not just about going to heaven. I think there was this, I don't know when I preached and I was talking about what Jesus came to do was not just for us going to heaven. It's also for us to have results on the earth. So there's some believers who do not understand that we're supposed to rule and reign in life, even before we get to heaven. So when we're talking about some things, some people even think that you are bragging. Have you seen such believers? They think you are bragging. When you are talking, I cannot. You think, aren't you talking too much? Are you? Because we do not have confidence in ourselves as believers. We don't understand what God Jesus has done for us. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, the third soil. The third soil. Let's go back to Matthew. I want to use Matthew here. Okay. Could you use Matthew or could you use Mark? Let me look at Mark. Mark 4. Okay, I'm going to read the easy translation. Then, let me read easy. I think I need to read this easy translation. I'm going to read easy translation from verse 13 up to 20. And please follow me. He says, then Jesus answered the people who had asked him about the story. You should understand this story. If you do not understand it, you will not understand any of my stories. He says, the seeds are like the message from God. The farmer is like a person who tells people about that message. He says, some seeds fell on the path. That is like some people who listen to the message, but then Satan comes and he quickly takes the message away from their minds. Some of the seeds fell on soil with rocks in it. This is also like some people who hear God's message. These people are happy to believe for a time, but they are like plants that have not grown down well into the soil. They don't have roots. So they only believe for a short time. They may have problems, or because they obey God's message, other people may do bad things to them. And then KJV talks about that affliction arises for the sake of the word. He says, when that happens, these people soon stop believing. He says, some seeds fell among thorn bushes. This is like some other people who hear God's message, but they have many troubles in their minds. They think that more money and other valuable things will make them happy. So they do not let God's message change them. They are like plants that do not grow well and make new seeds. I'm going to stop there. So let me go back. Take note of what he said. He said, they think that more money and other valuable things will make them happy. So they do not let God's message change them. Let me go back to the regular. Let me do Amplified. Go back to Amplified. No, let me Amplify here. Okay, so we're talking about the seed among the thorns. Yes. Verse 18, it says, and the one sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. It says, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. Is a lot too. And the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. See how many things that he said. He says the cares and anxieties of the world, distractions of the age, the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches, the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. So let's look at it. It says thorns. These thorns are cares of the world. It says cares and anxieties. When you are, scripture says not to be anxious. What? Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing. 4, 6, I think. Be anxious for nothing. But it says here, the cares of the world, anxiety of the world, distractions of the age. There's a lot of distraction going on. A lot of anxieties. Pastor Sunday just talked about Indomie being a... My friend was telling me on Sunday that it was a 12,000 or something. A pack was 12,000. And the milk has become... Look, when I enter shops and I see the price, if I want to buy, I buy. When I'm buying, instead of complaining, I just say, thank you, Lord, for provision. Because you cannot afford to complain. Hallelujah. Once you complain, you have negated all the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. You have negated it. So there's no need to complain. So when I see it, thank you, Jesus. I buy the one I want to buy. The one I don't want to buy, I move on. Thank you, Lord. There's no need to complain. Praise the Lord. And I told you last Sunday, there's no need to say, ah, eku luwai. You're not allowed to say that. You're not allowed to say that. Hallelujah. So there are so many cares. So right now, there are a lot of cares. There are a lot of anxieties. You know? There are a lot. And when you have this, you have divided minds. Because, you know, distraction is a lot. Hallelujah. A lot of distractions. A lot of distractions. Distractions of the age. Please tell me distractions of the age. Social media. Distraction of the age. Social media. Lai wasabi. Thank you. Distraction of the age. There is a lot of distraction. A lot of distraction. I want to be like. I want to look like. I want to. When I follow Vicky James because she's a fashion designer. When she had her wedding, it was goodness gracious. Distractions everywhere. I don't know how many dresses she wore. Distractions. So somebody wants to do wedding now. You are going to look at Vicky James' page. Aha! Distractions everywhere. Distractions everywhere. We have to be careful. Anxiety. Ah, they did. They wear now when they want to do wedding. They wear 5 dresses. I must wear 6. I must wear. Anxiety. 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 We must be careful. Distractions of the age. And I like the way Amplified puts it. It says, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour on Instagram. They put their picture. You think that is, maybe they went to borrow. You don't even know. You know, some years back, I watched a Nollywood movie. I watched a Nollywood. Fun fact, I like watching Nollywood. I watched this Nollywood movie and it was amazing because the girl went to rent shortlet to shoot videos that she was putting on her Instagram page. Not her house. She went to rent a place for the weekend to take pictures just to put on her Instagram page. False glamour. Nobody will know that the house is not her own. She paid rent for a weekend. I tell you, I was like, wow, has it gotten to this stage? It has passed it. False glamour. Deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. We have to be careful. And it says, and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke. I'm going to stay here for a bit. Desires for other things. Please, let us not develop appetite for things outside of that which God can provide for us. Don't develop appetite for things outside what God has provided. It says here, desire for other things. craving and passionate desire. It will be like, if you don't have it, you will die. Yeah, if I don't, I must buy iPhone. I must buy. Eh? I must buy. Ah, they are using, that's what they are using now. iPhone 16. That's what they are using now. How? Who are the day? Please. Moses, please. Please. You see Moses, please. Ah, okay. You know, there's this adage in Yoruba that says, "Enito ba mo bitegbe etila." So when you see them on the gram, it is for the gram. It is not real. Please. So don't let us develop an appetite that pulls us out of our lane or our assignment. And this is the crux of this message. Because like I said, we are in an unusual season. But in this our season, we require that the God, that promises of God be fulfilled in our lives. And these are the kind of things that truncate the promises of God. Developing an appetite that pulls you out of your lane or assignment. I want. That's my daughter. Everything you see, you want. I say it's everything you see that you want. You must want something. You are wanting. Every time you are wanting. Please don't want the one that will lead you outside of God's plan for your life. It is very important. Some of these our wantings take us out of our lane, outside of God's timing. And once you are outside of that timing, it enables the enemy to strike. The enemy strikes. You are giving the enemy permission to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hallelujah. As believers, I like the scripture in Isaiah 50. Let me look for it. Isaiah 50. I don't know the particular verse, but it's in Isaiah 50. It says, "I have set my face like a flint." 7 or 6, what? Isaiah 50. No, it's in Isaiah 50. Is it 7? Bible scholars, I like that scripture. It says, "For the Lord God will help me." 57. It says, "Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint." You know what a flint is? A flint is a stone. Is it? Can a stone change? A stone is a stone. 10 years ago, that stone is that same stone. 10 years from now, that stone is that stone. Have you seen all those mountains? Hallelujah. Those of us who are not Lagos lizards that travel outside Lagos. Have you seen those mountains? Since I have been going to my state, there are those mountains. They have not changed. They have not moved. They remain constant. And that is a flint. Hallelujah. It says, "Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed." A lot of us as believers have too many options. We have too many options. And thereby we invite confusion. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. House rent is coming. God has not shown up. What are we going to do? Then you start to help yourself. Say, no job. But somebody said, if I can. Too many options. And once you have that option, you create confusion for yourself. You create confusion. You create worry. You create anxiety. You know that scripture, Hebrews 12, says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher." That is the scripture. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There was a season that I went for my school reunion, and you know, I met, of course, classmates that I hadn't seen in, I think at that time we were doing, I don't even know, 25 years or 30 years or something like that of leaving school. Some people that you had not seen in a while. Of course, you hear about some other people in your here and there. And they were talking. And somebody said, I went to do this, because of that. You know? And when I left that place, my mind just went, my mind just went haywire. Because I was just thinking, Shekpe, you mean I should have done? Because what she said was very plausible. She was talking about herself. She was in a situation. This is what she did. This is what she did. She was, And I happened to find myself in that situation as well. And I had been thinking, okay, what should I do? Should I? And when I left that place, my mind was just in a turmoil. For like a week, I was just thinking to myself, Shekpe, until I borrowed myself brain. One day I just sat. And you know, the Holy Spirit was just telling me, hey, it's because you move focus now. You are no longer looking unto Jesus. You are thinking you can do something by yourself. So that's why your mind was, since then, as I said, that scripture, looking unto Jesus, saying, it's a scripture. I am looking. What God cannot do for me, I don't want it. I don't want. Carry it and go. If God can't give it to me, I don't want it. That means I don't need it. I don't need it. So, well, we create confusion for ourselves because we have too many options. You are thinking, you know how they say, this one doesn't work. This one must work. Are people? This one doesn't do. Say, option A, B, C, yes. Option A, B, option 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. You are creating confusion. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So when we have the desire for other things, it actually chokes the destiny of God over our lives. And that is the crux of this message. Because in this season, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. All those desires for other things, they stole the promises of God over our lives. You know, you hear people say, the promise, we hear it a lot, promise has not come to pass. It is not on God's side. It is because we are not focused. We are not focused. We are looking here, looking there, looking everywhere, but where we're supposed to look. Praise the Lord. So we must watch our thoughts. We must watch our attitudes and we must watch our appetites. What are your thoughts? What are the things going on in your mind? What are the attitudes that you have cultivated over time? What are the appetites that you have developed? Let me tell you, it is possible for the promise of God not to come to pass in your life, and you are the only one that can stop the promise of God from. Not even the devil can stop the promise. Do you know? The devil doesn't have the power to stop the promise of God over your life. You are the only one who can. You are the only one who can. You are the only one who can. So please, let us watch our thoughts. Watch your attitudes. Those are the things that make up your heart. Watch your thoughts, your attitudes, your appetites. These things have the capacity to stall the promises of God if they are not in the right place. They have the capacity to stall the promise of God if they are not in the right place. You know, I was listening to a man of God. I don't know. I can't remember who now. And the person was saying that, you know how we say, okay, when we're talking of material stuff, when we're talking of things that we want to have, he said that from the get-go, determine what enough is going to be for you. It's not when you start having money. He said, no, it's too late. Determine what enough is going to be, you know. And I give an example of Rick Warren. When he wrote his book, The Purpose Driven Life, and the book blew, like we say, all of the money that he had collected, that their church had paid him as allowances in God knows how many years, he first of all returned everything. On instruction from God, so I learned. But then after that, there were things that he began to do. So this man of God was saying, before you blow, like in our own local parlance, determine and decide what enough is going to be. So you're saying, I have this. And for enough is different from each for each person. What is enough for you may not be enough for me, but make sure that that's your enough is not the amount that you replace your trust in God. Did you get me? Anything that you have that replaces your trust in God is too much. Has gone overboard. Yes. If you have something, and by the time you have that kind of money, you no longer need to trust God. That money has become an idol. That money has become, and somebody saying, are we saying we shouldn't have money? No. It is just so that you are not caught up in that rat race. Because otherwise, you know, people say that, owo ntolowo. Why is it? Because human needs are insatiable. So if you do not draw the boundary lines and say, okay, when I have this, beyond this, this and this is what I'm going to be doing with this money, you will join that rat race. That race. So whatever it is that you have, whatever amounts that you have that replaces God, your trust in God, that money has become an idol. And that is why you see, even the people that are not believers, do you know how much money the Bill Gates of this world spend on? Do you know how much money they spend on philanthropy? Why? Because money can make you go crazy. You will just lose yourself. Although money on its own is neither good or bad. Money just reveals the heart of the owner. That's what it does. It just reveals the heart of the owner. So before you blow, praise the Lord. Decide. You know, David said, don't give me food that is enough for me. Eh? So that I'm not poor and I begin to curse you. But don't give me the one too that will make me desert you. You know, so it is important that everybody knows their threshold. Hallelujah. Everybody knows their threshold. In conclusion this evening, we must strive to cultivate the soil of our hearts to yield fruit. Notice that I didn't talk about the fruits, the ground that yielded, because that one, it just needs for you to cultivate. You need to cultivate that land. You need to cultivate. How do you cultivate? I've talked about hearing, meditation, of course, praying. You need to cultivate the ground of your heart. You need to cultivate the ground of your heart. So we must strive to cultivate the soil of our hearts to yield fruits. We must. And don't forget, God looks at the heart. And that is why this is a heart matter. God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7, when David was going to be crowned, anointed as king, and Eliab, the eldest son, was paraded. And God said, this one, no. I have a, please go to 17, because that, 1 Samuel 16:7, there's a word that, yeah. He said, I have rejected him. For him to have been rejected, that means God has tried him. You don't reject somebody that you have not assessed. God said, I have rejected him. Says, because the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward, but the Lord looks on the heart. So this matter that we are on is a heart matter. And we must ensure that we cultivate. We must strive to develop roots. Dig deep, develop roots. How do you develop roots? You know how. Read the word, meditate, pray. Be open to the word. Be open to the word. Praise the Lord. Can we rise this evening? Let's rise this evening.
This message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more.